Hey, it's Brian Cook, your host here. Wanted to let you know we now have t-shirts. Would you like to support the podcast? Have you noticed that I can't get a sponsor because this show's too filthy? Hey, it'd be great if some people ordered shirts. They're great looking shirts. Go to estoymerchandise.com, E-S-T-O-Y merchandise.com. You'll find competitive erotic fanfiction on the right-hand side. Click on that and you can order shirts. There's men's and women's sizes. It's a great design by my buddy Mark Palm in Seattle. He does all of our amazing poster art. Please support the podcast. It would help us out a ton. That's estoymerchandise.com. E-S-T-O-Y merchandise.com.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 144 of the Competitive Erotic Fanfiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you've found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Upcoming shows include October 18th at the Virgil in Los Angeles, October 25th at Union Hall in Brooklyn, and that is where today's show was recorded, June 21st, 2015, featuring Will Miles, Jake Flores, Ross Parsons, and Jim Tews, reading pieces they wrote in advance based upon topics of their choosing. Enjoy.
Keep it going for your first competitor in the round one, the prepared piece, Mr. Ross Parsons. The very tall.
Hello, hello. I was collecting the papers earlier and ruiming the Primus. Ruined the Primus reference. You and your grandpa music. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Pretty Little Liars, but that's what my piece is about, and it's called A is for Ass, comma or anal. All right. Okay, said academic overachiever Spencer Hastings. Just to recap, we're in this football stadium because we have reason to believe that our stalker, otherwise known as A, might be around here. Let's do a roll call to make sure everyone's still here. Is the one who thinks she's artsy and interesting because she reads old books is here? Yes, said Aria. Is the idiot savant blonde here? Yes, said Hannah. Is the sporty lesbian with two facial expressions here? Yes, said Emily. Is the one who used to stalk us, but is now totally cool and obviously the hottest one, present? Yeah, said Mona. All right, let's go in there. Maybe we'll finally catch A once and for all. They entered the room, and the door shut behind them. Oh no, cried Aria. Our greatest weakness, doors that lock from the outside. Oh wait, here's a door into another room. They entered the room and were immediately shocked to their very cores. The Seattle Seahawks? What are you doing here? They all said in unison. We're trying to catch the person who cost us last year's Super Bowl, said head coach Pete Carroll. But I thought it was you who made that bad call at the end, said Emily. No, what happened was that someone hacked the headset signal and told Russell to pass on what clearly should have been a run play. I took the blame because this A character threatened to kill one of my llamas. But I think he might be here, responded Pete Carroll, 2003 Pac-10 Coach of the Year. Oh, cool. We're looking for A too, said Spencer. All of a sudden, the lights went out. A shadowy figure ran in the background. Oh no, said Hannah. A's getting away, just like he always does. We'll never catch him. Not if the Legion of Boom can help it, said defensive end Cliff Averill. Then hard-hitting strong safety Cam Chancellor tackled A and did a super sweet celebratory dance. Let's see who he really is, said punter John Ryan, turning the lights on. Mark Wahlberg, said everybody in unison. You're A? Asked Spencer incredulously. We don't even know you. Yeah, I just like tormenting teenage girls. Is that a crime? Said Marky Mark. We'll let the lawyer sort that one out. You're the person who cost us the Super Bowl, growled 2010 Pack Coach of the Year, Pete Carroll. Yeah, I'm a Pats fan. I love my team, said Wahlberg. Is violating the rules of football a crime? It's the worst crime there is, said newly acquired Pro Bowl tight end Jimmy Graham, who then pulled out a double-barreled shotgun and fired right into Mark Wahlberg's kneecap. Aria then grabbed the gun for herself. This is for producing Entourage, she yelled, firing into the other kneecap. And also for sending us all those creepy text messages and stalking us. Mona then took the gun from her and shot Mark Wahlberg in the dick. This is for producing the Entourage movie, she said. Pro Bowl quarterback and second round pick Russell Wilson then took the weapon and shot him in the gut. This is for cutting most of my scenes in the Entourage movie, he said. There was a pregnant pause in the room. What do we do now? Asked Emily. Well, I don't know if the rest of you feel this way, answered Hannah, but the sight of Mark Wahlberg suffering like that makes me really horny. Me too, said everybody else. Well, what are we waiting for? Asked Pete Carroll, one of only three football coaches to win championships at both the college and professional levels. Let's get fucking! The Pretty Little Liars and the Seattle Seahawks commenced having an orgy. I'm the best comer in the game, yelled Pro Bowl cornerback Richard Sherman. It's not cheating on Ezra if it's two dicks at once, right? Moaned Aria. Better make it three, said Mona, showing her support of public transit by letting the offensive line run a train. Jesus is our Lord and Savior, cried Russell Wilson. He's a Christian. As he got his dick sucked. It was a humongous dick, but not one so huge it could stop him from having the 16th most rushing yards in the league, which is pretty impressive for a quarterback, given that he outrushed 15 other starting running backs. Emily stood by the side, trying her best to communicate sadness with her face. What's wrong, Jitterbug? Asked future Hall of Famer Marshawn Lynch. Emily sighed. It's just that I'm a lesbian and there aren't any sexy ladies for me to fuck. Marshawn Lynch then smiled and transformed into a sexy lady with really big boobs. What? How did you do that? Stammered Emily with a dumb look on her face. Frog DNA. Said Marshawn, I'm a genetic clone of prehistoric running backs and they had to fill in the missing parts of frog DNA. They then started rubbing their vaginas and boobs together. It was really cool. All of a sudden, Russell Wilson climaxed and fell backward, doubled over in pain. Oh no, yelled defensive end Michael Bennett. He's gone and fucked too good. Fucked too well, said cornerback and Stanford graduate Richard Sherman. Fucked too well. What are we going to do without our quarterback, simpered punter John Ryan. He's a franchise QB who definitely deserves an extension. The game starts in 2 hours. Suddenly, the manliest voice you ever heard rang out from the back of the room. I'll do it. The Pretty Little Liars and the Seattle Seahawks turned to look at the man. Ross Parsons? The comedian, they all said. Yes, it is me, Ross Parsons, the comedian, said Ross Parsons, the comedian, and former runner-up in the American Eagle Campus Comedy Challenge. I do well for myself. But you're not a quarterback, sputtered offensive line coach Tom Cable. Tom, replied Russ Parsons, former member of the Dean's List. With all the arrogance in the world, I was starting varsity for Quiz Bowl. I can do anything I set my mind to. Yeah, said everybody else, clearly inspired. Jesus is no longer my co-pilot, said Russell Wilson. You are, Ross Parsons. Whatever, said Ross Parsons. Let's go win us a football game. Woo! Woo! Wait, said the Pretty Little Liars. Let us accept Emily, the sporty lesbian, suck your dick.
Fine,
said Ross, and he pulled it out. All of them had multiple orgasms just by looking at it. Then they all sucked his dick, and he came so hard that everybody in the room just stopped and looked and gained a greater appreciation for nature and started clapping. It was really cool. Okay, that was really cool, said Ross. Now let's go win us a football game. Yes, said everybody else, and then Ross Parsons led the Seahawks to victory and subsequently the Super Bowl. He then went on to marry Mona because Ross needed a bad bitch. And she was obviously the baddest bitch of all. All right, thank you. Good night.
Comedian Ross Parsons. Keep it going for Mr. Jake Flores. There he is.
Hello. This is either going to go short or long. I'm not sure. Because I have never read from my diary in public before. So, let's see. My topic is Inspector Gadget. I prepared for this by reading a lot of Raymond Chandler novels. Dashiell Hammett, that sort of thing. So this will be written in the first person. As for the genre. It was 1 p.m. on a Tuesday. Hot day. I had spent the night at the bar in the morning with a tall brunette named Evan Williams. My blood felt like battery acid. I fried an egg on my forehead for lunch. Valerie gazed at me from a 5x7 framed rectangle on my desk. I turned her around. She didn't need to see me like this. Val was my wife once. That all ended when she decided to drink a swimming pool of Old Tom gin and get behind the wheel of a magic school bus. Dead for 6 semesters now and left Penny to live with me and a dog that can kind of talk for some reason. Hot day. That's when the call came in. A botched drug deal in Little Canada. The neighborhood... Oh, you get ahead of me. Little Canada, the neighborhood where Canadian immigrants sell exotic syrups and play traditional homeworld music. Like Snow. And Loverboy. I hot-footed it to the crime scene. 3 dead, all wearing red cat rings. The local patrol called an amateur job, but something didn't add up. The whole thing smacked of a syndicate called MAD I'd been trailing for months. I leaned down and did that thing detectives do where they drag a finger across the ground and then taste it. Just as I thought. Cum. These Goombas were pushing China White of a whole different kind. I called up Chief Quimby. Your line's hot, Gadget, he barked at me. Meet me in the rest stop off the 45th mile marker of I-69 and wear something pretty. We're gonna need to fit in. I got in the Gadgetmobile and stuck my foot clear through the floor. 35 minutes later, I was in a bathroom stall twiddling my damn thumbs. Suddenly, a small saw shot through the stall divider and cut open a circular hole the size of a beer can. All right, Gadget, what do you know? Quimby's voice inquired. It's MAD. They're pushing cum, I said. They're pushing what, he responded. You heard me, I belted back. Baby batter, egg foo young, ball bag butter, enchilada suiza, precious panda's milk, cyclops tears, Russian dressing, cottage cheese whiz, snake oil, man-raised mayonnaise, tadpole soup, a bucket of green yogurt that's been left out in the sun. You know, jism. Well, it's worse than I thought, Quimby shot back. I hate to be the one to tell you this, but I received an encrypted message from MAD this morning. It's your daughter, Penny. They black-bagged her this morning, whereabouts unknown. Good Lord! She could be filled up like a 4th of July watermelon by now. I need to kick rocks, fast, I shouted. Not so fast, Quimby barked back. You come roller skating out of here with a dry mouth, people around here are going to smell sushi and follow... I told you, we have to fit in and do as the Romans do. Go incognito. While saying all this, Chief Quimby unbuckled his belt, dropped his ferrous slacks and slid his wax paper yellow Snickers bar of a cock through the hole. You're gonna have to suck me off, Gadget. You're gonna have to suck me off real deep. I'm gonna have to touch the tip of my dick to the coffee you had for breakfast, Gadget. I'm gonna have to fuck your face harder than Chinese calculus, you hear me? There you go. I didn't like his methods, but he was a good cop. He knew me right by okay. He knew right by me okay. This is like really hard shit to go through really fast, just as a narrator. He knew right by me okay. I got on my knees and eyeballed his middle-aged hog. It had a 5 o'clock shadow and some cigarette ashes lingering on the shaft. I slammed my face on it and tried to muster up enough saliva as my hungover mouth could produce. I sucked hard. Quimby moaned and muttered about how he wasn't gay. What a dope. I wasn't gay either. We were cops. I worked his leathery nightstick for 15 minutes, but something wasn't quite getting him off. I pulled back off his cock and made that loud smacking, popping sound like when you pull a blow pop out of your mouth real fast. Go, go, Gadget butt plug, I yelled, and a black lava lamp-shaped sex toy shot out of my own ass on the end of a retractable metal tentacle. It coiled its way through under the stall and got into Quimby's Sipowitz-looking manhole. I took a pull from a bottle of rye I kept in my coat and got back to work. I could feel Quimby's balls rumbling on the other side of the stall. Suddenly Quimby roared, "This message will self-destruct in 5 seconds!" And then rocketed a bunch of cum into my head after 2.5 seconds. I shot through 3 stall doors and a bunch of propeller blades and shit flew out of the top of my head. Looked like somebody jacked off on a Swiss Army knife with all the tools open. I spent the rest of the night wandering from neon sign to neon sign trying to work out where to look next. I'd about given up when I walked into a particularly rank dive bar and noticed a bartender wearing a red cat ring. I grabbed him by the lapels and pulled him over to the fun side of the bar. "Who do you work for?" I growled. "I know about your whole operation, punk. Give me the goo. Give me the goods, and I might let you keep pouring swill for these idiots." He played dumb. I pulled a vial of the jizz from the crime scene out. "This look familiar? I got a hunch I'll find the same stuff on you," I said. As I reached under his belt and grabbed his limp cocktail weenie, I dropped my shoulders and made like a piston, sliding my nicotine-stained mitt up and down until the punk's eyes began to roll back in his head. I jacked him off and jacked him off good. I was gonna pull semen samples from every thug in town if that's what it took to find my daughter. He spit oysters. That means he came in old-timey lingo. He spit oysters. I tasted the mess. Cum. The very same. "Who do you work for?" I barked as I massaged his prostate like I'd read about in Cosmo. "Claw!" he spit out before he turned around and started playing an Xbox. "Tell me more," I demanded. "Let's talk about it tomorrow," he said, now eating ribs and falling asleep. "Who the hell is Claw, man?" I came at him. "Geez, he's the boss, man. He's downstairs, okay? So, do you need, like, an Uber or something?" Normally, you could stay over, but my roommates are kind of weird," he said. I threw him through a window and made my way downstairs. What I saw down there would make you shit a book about people throwing up. The guy from Blues Traveler was wearing gauntlets. And fucking Brain, the anthropomorphic dog, over a table while a cat watched from his desk, purring. The whole time, the guy from Blues Traveler kept wheezing through his face harmonica, "I'll get you, Gadget." All while Penny was sitting quietly in a corner reading from a computer book, because there are some places that even this story will not go. "Wait, you're Claw," I said, astounded, while he reamed my dog son's pink virgin butthole. That's a... I need elocution lessons. Brain yelled a bunch of incoherent Scooby-Doo shit and the cat fingered itself. Why the hell not? Ah, finally the main course has arrived. Claw slash the guy from Blues Traveler said. I yelled, go, go, gadget dildos. And a bunch of colorful phalluses shot out of my body and into Brain's mouth, Claw's ass, my own butt, the cat's pussy, whatever. I flew around the room with my hat helicopter, and we all became entangled in a mess of metal tentacles. Claw had a heart attack, shit his pants, and died. The cat and dog are married now because of Obama. And Penny's still a virgin. The end.
Jake Flores! He left Penny alone. That was nice of him, right? Giving over Jim Twos. For a second, I thought they weren't going to keep it going for Jim Twos. We were going to have words.
Jimmy Two.
Jimmy Two. Yeah.
No, iPads are super heavy. I get why you need that.
Well, Jake had the mini one. This is significantly heavier.
But the crowd can't tell that you're one-upping him with your bigger iPad because you've got it on that stand. Give it up for his bigger iPad. He's more of a man. More of a man than Jake Flores.
It's an older one, though.
Jim Tate.
I gotta go.
Well, that's our show.
I don't know if I like this here. It doesn't matter. Did you tell what I'm doing?
You did, right?
Yeah, but I don't remember.
No,
I got here.
I didn't
okay.
Tell him anything.
Okay. Who here watches My Cat from Hell?
Yes!
Okay.
Five
Okay. There we go. Ooh, that's a start. Do you know who Jackson Galaxy is?
You!
All right, I have to show everybody this picture. Real
yeah, that'll
quick.
Wait. That's that okay? Great. Yeah, no, it's
I
great.
Mean, this is a
this is
going to
be especially good on the podcast. This is going
to
be fun.
Well, they
perfect.
Can Google it if they're listening to the podcast. So there's a show called My Cat from Hell, and it's a cat behaviorist guy, and he's fucking weird.
Yep.
And this is what he looks like.
So it's the cat whisperer, essentially, is what we're dealing with, right? All right. Can I see it?
All right, we're now.
That's one of the villains from Superman, isn't it?
It is. I don't. Yeah.
Anyone over 30? Fuck it.
Hello.
Oh, no.
You've reached the offices of Jackson Galaxy, cat behaviorist and host of My Cat from Hell. I can't answer the phone right now because I'm out probably running errands in a bowling shirt or carefully manicuring my elaborate facial hair. Please leave a message after the meow. Darn it, voicemail again, Carol said out loud, to no cat in particular. She had three of them. They were her world. She didn't like to think of herself as one of those crazy cat ladies, but to any onlooker, she fit the profile perfectly. Beep! Hey, Mr. Galaxy, this is Carol Stein. I don't know if you got my video submission, but I've got a cat from hell, and I need your help. It's an 8-year-old tabby named Norma. She's been very violent with me and some of my other cats. I can't bear to get rid of her. Get back to me when you can. Thanks, Jackson. Carol hung up. Exhausted. Lonely. Horny as fuck. Carol walked into her bedroom towards Norma, who was perched on the highest level of her cat tree. Norma glared at Carol, who reached a gentle hand towards the beast. This was not well received. She was clawed almost immediately. Carol was at her wit's end. She'd brought several dates back to her place in the last 6 months, and every one of those men turned to mice when Norma caught sight of them. It just wasn't fair. She was only 30. Attractive, smart, sweet, horny as fuck. But no man would give her a second date with that cop-blocking cat around. She needed Jackson Galaxy. You know, to help get this cat under control. So she could get fucked. Carol's phone buzzed in the other room. She ran to get it. An unfamiliar number showed up on screen. She answered. Hello, this is Carol. Hi, Carol, this is Jackson. Do you have a minute to talk? Jackson Galaxy, the cat guy. TV. He laughed. Wow, sure. Her heart was thumping already. She had no idea why. Starstruck, she guessed. I just wanted to say I got your video, and I definitely think I can help you. You're in L.A., right? Yes, I'm in L.A. Okay, I'll have my producer email you, and we'll set up an interview. Sorry to be so forward. I don't normally make calls personally like this, but you felt... Your case felt really good to me. Really special. Sounds good, Mr. Galaxy. Please, call me Jackson Galaxy. Okay, Jackson Galaxy. Thank you, I really need this. I know. Talk soon. He hung up. Carol stared at her phone, shocked, excited, horny as fuck. A few days later, she was scheduled to meet Jackson at a local bar for an interview. She thought it was odd that the interview was at 9 p.m., and the venue he chose didn't serve food, but whatever. She just needed to fix this problem so she could start fucking more. Jackson was 15 minutes late. Typical Hollywood guy, thought Carol. When he walked in the crowded bar, several people recognized him. Two or three at least. Carol didn't think that kind of star power would turn her on, but it did. There's a little bit of that and a little bit of his garish attire. He looked like a giant cat toy. So why did she want him inside her? He sat down across from her, confident, empathetic, horny as fuck. She ordered a cosmopolitan. Make it two, he said. They got to know each other in a very formal way. Jackson was getting a read on her. It was purely platonic, mostly, pretty much. Except for the drinks and lack of extra company. And the fact that he kept purring. He was nice, Carol thought. She could see why the cats responded so well to him. Their first meeting came to an end, and they'd scheduled a house visit for the following week. Back at Galaxy headquarters, Jackson's producer was a bit concerned. Hey, Jax, what's the deal with this Carol woman? You have her on the roster, but she's not on the production schedule. Oh, yeah, Carol, I'm just going to go that one alone. I don't think her situation is going to play well to our crowd, Jackson replied. Jackson, come on, you can't keep falling for these women. I'm not falling for her, I just want to help. You took her out for drinks, didn't you? So what if I did? You can't do this, Jackson, what if she talks? Our market research shows that viewers see you as asexual. And that's why they don't mind watching you talk to cats. If you blow that, we're all out of a job. Jackson grabbed his guitar case full of cat toys and stormed out. Carol went on three dates during the week she waited for Jackson to visit. She brought them all home, too. Every one of them was freaked out by Norman's behavior. They all bailed before the first kiss. Not like it mattered. She had Jackson on the brain. She'd spent every night fantasizing about ripping off that bowling shirt of his and getting licked by the cat master. What the fuck was going on with her? He wasn't even her type. She was obsessed, confused, horny as fuck. After what felt like months, but was only days, Jackson showed up on her doorstep. They locked eyes, and Carol felt her ovaries scream. It was like 1,000 kittens were crawling around in her uterus and down her fallopian tubes, back to her uterus, and all around the part of her butthole with all the nerve endings. Jackson smelled incredible, like catfish, catnip, and tuna fish. With a subtle undertone of jupe. She tried to get a read on him, but he was all business. He took off his prescription sunglasses and swapped them out for his clear ones. A camera crew entered. Carol was surprised and a little bit disappointed. "So what's going on, Carol? What's Norma's deal?" said Jackson. The lights and the camera were distracting. Carol explained the whole story again, but couldn't even concentrate. His indifference was maddening. At one point, while he was listening to her story, he placed his hand on the table near hers. She couldn't resist reaching out and attempting a touch. He recoiled instantly, stood back for a brief moment, then came closer to her. They were both silent. She tried to touch his face, but he batted her hand out of the way. The cameras disappeared, figuratively speaking. Then literally speaking. Almost as if they knew what to do. The crew made a subtle exit. "They must have left something in the truck. They won't be back," said Jackson, with a stone-cold face. "Let me show you where Norma is," Carol said softly. They stood up to walk to the bedroom. Jackson brushed her as they stood. She looked at him, and he immediately looked away. "Hot, cold, hot, cold. Touch me, don't touch me." Jackson was driving her crazy. She loved him. When they reached the bedroom, Jackson approached Norma. "Hey, girl," he said softly and in a high, cat-friendly register. Norma melted instantly. She jumped into Jackson's arms, purring, cooing, horny as fuck. "Wow," said Carol. "She's never done that." Jackson put Norma down. Norma left the bedroom and somehow closed the door behind her. Jackson crawled under Carol's bed. She bent down and looked for him, seeing only the gleam of his eyes. She moaned, then backed away. Jackson slowly came out onto Carol's bed and took his flame shirt off. He curled up near the edge. "Grab that shoelace, play with me," he whispered to Carol. She knew exactly what to do. Dangling the string over his head, she lured him. She lured him into a prone position. She hiked up her dress and mounted him. They fucked for a good 20 minutes. It would have been longer, but Jackson got distracted by his own reflection in Carol's vanity mirror. She tried to cuddle him after they made love, but he wanted no part in it. Began to pack up. "Back to all business, Jackson," she guessed. Cold, indifferent Jackson. He'd come around again. She was sure of it. They always come back. She left food on the doorstep, but he never showed. No matter. Norma was cured.
Thank you. Jim Tews! Keep going for your final round one competitor, Will Miles.
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight? Good? All right. There it is. How many of you guys watch Empire? Oh, really? All right, good. Yeah, nice. Perfect.
It's the same two people that have known everything in the back. We love all culture!
All right. You guys do nothing but watch television, and I appreciate that. I've done this show before, and for some reason I thought I'd walk in and there would be 40 black people here. I was like, oh, everybody know Empire. If you don't know Empire, it's like the story of Jay-Z. If Jay-Z had a wife that he divorced after she sold drugs for him and helped him start the label, and then she went to jail for 20 years, and then they had three sons. Then he found out he was about to die and decided he had to give his empire to his three sons. That's the general story and a realistic story of Empire. So I decided to do Empire. Thank you very much. I like, she's great already. So, and if you don't know, you know Terrence Howard? Everybody know Terrence Howard? Good. He's a great guy. He talks like...
All right, okay.
Terrence Howard talks like a dude who stopped crying 5 minutes ago. That's the best way to describe his voice. Like he just ended his tears, and then he's like, I'm going to go ahead and talk now. That's Terrence Howard. So this is Empire, competitive erotic fanfiction. It was 7:30 p.m. when Lucius Lyon, head of Empire Entertainment, took to the podium. Now, as head of Empire Entertainment, I have seen ups and downs. I know what the next few years means to this label and our future. I want to know that when I step down, the right person will be my successor. The right person in every way. I gotta know you lead like Lucius Lyne, and that you fuck like Lucius Lyne. You sure about this, man? Said Vernon, Lucius's right-hand man, a job title he received after he used his right hand to jerk Lucius off onto his fiance, after Lucius lost feeling in his own right hand. But Lucius was all too sure. He looked around the room, and all of his sons were in fucking positions with their respective partners. Andre had his snowflake wife. He's got a white wife. but, you know, Empire calls them snowflakes. So he had his snowflake wife sitting on the coffee table in the corner. Hakim had his 49-year-old model girlfriend Camilla on his left side, and his lesbian hip-hop star girlfriend Tiana on his right side. And Jamal had his Latin love toy Michael. Jamal's gay. Bent over the conference room table, much to the chagrin of his very upset father. On the sidelines, Cookie, Lucius' ex-wife and ex-co-star in the movie Hustle and Flow, was staring at her sons with pride, but really pulling for Jamal to fuck his boyfriend into a spin-off TV show on Bravo so that he could become the new CEO of Empire Records and take his mother with him. On the other side of her was Anika, a.k.a. that Halle Berry-looking bitch, who was currently Lucius' fiancé. Next to them was Becky, a surprisingly named bigger black woman, who was Lucius' secretary, and Courtney Love, for some reason. Cookie came up and told everyone the rules. Y'all do your best fucking, and Cookie is watching. One of my boys will be the next to head up this company, and none of you are made from some bullshit fucking. So do your best Lucius impression and fuck like you mean it. Now start fucking when I drop this mic. And then she randomly had a mic. And she dropped the mic, and Andre, Jamal, and Hakim wasted no time. Hakim, the youngest of the three, and the most gangster, yeah, though he grew up very rich, grabbed his two girls and began fingering them while singing his famous song as he watched what happened to their vaginas. Drip, drop. Drip, drippity, drop. Moans came from both sides of him as the girls started kissing each other. Then he broke that and looked at them, and he said, "Man, I just thought of a new song. Y'all want to hear it? Please, don't." They moaned. "Okay, cool," he said. "I got you right now. What's that over there? That's that ish right there." And then they both said, "We're in your company. Why don't you just say shit? You don't have to say ish." And then both girls looked at him and said, "Actually, that ish over there is your brother fucking his token white wife." And then the scene cuts to Andre and Rondra. Rondra is a surprisingly named white girl who would do anything for her man. And her man happened to be bipolar. So she did what she had to do, and she took it up a notch and licked her man's asshole. But since she knew her man, she hid a lithium on her tongue and shoved that up his asshole so he wouldn't have an episode when his dick was on the line. He bent her over and smacked her pasty white ass. It was so loud that the room stopped. Everybody stopped. They had just found the new Empire sound. He smacked it again, making a beat. And everybody clapped. Yeah. He smacked and smacked, smacked and smacked. The whole room started fucking and smacking in unison. Cookie grabbed Lucius' dick out of his pants and smiled. "Look at what we created, motherfucker." Anika smacked the dick out of Cookie's hand and said, "You may have created this, but this is mine now, bitch." Then the two women got face to face, like they were ready to throw down. But instead, they began angrily fingering each other while Lucius watched approvingly, deciding which girl, his ex-wife or his soon-to-be ex-fiance, he should put his dick inside. Across the room, Jamal had Michael Sanchez, his Latino love boy, bent over a table. He was still smacking the ass to the beat, but decided to take it up a notch. He took his dick out of Michael's asshole, and the room stopped in a large gasp. It's like you guys were in the room. He had everyone's attention. He grabbed Michael's shoulder and pulled him as he sang, "Turn around, 'cause I just want you to look at me." The whole room was too turned up at this point. It was like House Party 2. If House Party 2 was a fuck jam instead of a pajama jam. Andre started fucking his wife harder. Hakeem was speeding up behind Tiana as she was eating out Camilla. Lucius had entered his ex-wife Cookie while Cookie was still fingering Anika. Vernon had began fucking the two random roles in Gabourey Sidibe and Courtney Love just because he felt out of place and wanted some camera time. And he didn't want to be killed off like that first black dude. Michael's legs were far behind his head as Jamal was drilling and singing at the same time. As he hit his final note, "What do I gotta do?" Everybody came. And everybody came hard. Then Lucius stopped everything. "You guys did some great work today," Lucius said. "I saw some great things. This is a family business. And now you all are heads of state at Empire Entertainment. Now clean up." And then they slammed the door and Anika left the room, and all the random co-stars and Chris Rock and all and Jennifer Hudson, they all waited outside the room, and Cookie said, "That's right, bitch, this is my family." And that was it. So thanks, guys.
Will Miles, thank you very much. Will, you can sit right here. Let's get everybody from round one back up for a vote. Round one. Give a round of applause, everybody from round one. I'm going to remind you of what everybody read, and then you're going to vote with your applause on your favorite, so don't vote just yet. We started with Ross Parsons with Pretty Little Liars, then Jake Flores with Inspector Gadget, Jim Tews with My Cat from Hell, and Will Miles with Empire. So pick a favorite with your applause, starting with Ross Parsons' Pretty Little Liars. Ross, I liked it. I know who A is, by the way. I can tell you after the show. Oh. Do you want me to ruin it for you right now? All right. Anybody that wants to know, I'll tell you after the show. Jake Flores, Inspector Gadget. Jim Tews, My Cat from Hell. They hate cats. Will Miles, Empire. Well, that's Jim Tews with My Cat from Hell. That's your round one champion right there. How do you not love that? Give everybody a round of applause for all of these fellas. Big one. Big one.
That does it for round one. To hear round two, you can download episode 145 next week. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and rate the show on iTunes. And for details on upcoming shows, you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Cooking or the show at CE Fanfic. See you next time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.